the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Welcome back to the Hackberry House, a daily podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church. I'm Bob, and this is podcast number 162. It is May 21, 2015. Today we're continuing with Oswald J. Smith's book, The Revival We Need. And we're following Smith's journal at the end of 1917 and on into the beginning of 1918, how God used this man to pray through into a revival. Fascinating study. November 21. At the meeting tonight, both the young women for whom we had been pleading came out bright, glorious, and clear. They gave splendid testimonies and wept much. Oh, how I praise him. He is working, convicting, and saving. All honor to his name. December 12. Both of those convicted at the last meeting testified clearly tonight. They are now saved and happy. One has been on our prayer list just 7 days. Praise God. Spent about 3 hours in prayer with Dr. Hooper today with much profit. December 19. Dr. Hooper and I met at 11 this morning and continued in prayer until 3 in the afternoon. God worked this evening. A young man whom I thought was saved entered my study and astonished me by stating that he had never been born again. This was on Sunday. Tonight he came and sat in the back seat. The doctor and I pleaded long for him in prayer, had asked God to convict him, to bring him back, and cause him to come right out and weep over his sins. I placed 3 chairs facing the people in the front for the penitent form. At the invitation, he walked forward at once and knelt down. Soon he was shaking with great convulsive sobs. Nothing could check him and check them. He pled for mercy and soon knew his sins were pardoned. With tears streaming down his cheeks, he stood up and faced the people and told them that he was saved. He went home rejoicing in his Savior. Praise God. He answers prayer. Oh, the joy of soul winning. The sweetest music I have ever listened to is the cry of a penitent sinner coming home to God. I'm determined to cast ease aside and give myself unreservedly to this great work. January 9, in 1918 now. After much thought and supplication, I set aside this week for prayer and announced a meeting to be held every night except Saturday. Tonight's meeting was truly wonderful. The Holy Spirit so filled one of our number that for the first time in her life, she broke out in public prayer. We all felt the power of God. The people refused to go home, and so the meeting continued until after 11 o'clock. January 11. This has been the most wonderful week of all. Seldom have our meetings closed until after 10 o'clock. The people would not go. God has poured out his Spirit. Conviction has been real. Much soul anguish. Blinded eyes have been opened. Sins confessed and put away. Many who never prayed before in public, and some whom I thought never would, have broken down and prayed with many tears. The burden for souls has been laid upon several, both young and old. The presence of God has been most real, and oh, what singing! Not the lips only, but the hearts. At the close of the service tonight, 10:15, I asked the people, and there was a large attendance, what they wanted done in the future. They were unanimous to continue the meetings. So, next week, we're going to go on again every night. Glory be to God. How graciously he has answered. It is not of man, but it's of him. God has answered prayer. Prayer has been most difficult all week in spite of God's blessing. Satan seems to be fighting continuously. The heavens have been like brass. This afternoon I went to my study and I tried to pray. It was impossible. So hard was I opposed that I finally threw myself down and ceased to struggle. But after a while I arose determined to win. Then victory came. The powers of darkness seemed to leave, and I was enabled to pray for over an hour. January 20, another wonderful week has passed. The meetings have grown in depth and power. More have been saved. January 23, a shower at last. Praise be to God. Room packed. During the meeting, I was in agony, almost to bursting. So heavy was the burden. At the close, I gave an invitation. We sang two verses, but no one came. Then we sang Like a Mighty Sea, our grand old favorite. During the first two verses, I was still in agony. The load lifted as we started the third verse. Oh, how they sang, soul and heart in every word. But I had given up hope of results, when suddenly a woman came forward and knelt at the front. Soon a second followed, and then two or three others. I stepped up to a fourth who was under deep conviction and spoke only a word or two. Almost immediately her eyes filled with tears, her head dropped, and in a moment she was on her face before God. There were six altogether. Oh, what a night! Finally I dismissed the people and told them to go home, but they still prayed and stayed and unwilling to leave. Tears flowed freely. Sobs were heard as they wept out their confessions to God of sin. God worked, and soon many had risen to testify of sins forgiven. Oh, the joy that filled our hearts. March 6. The work of God still prospers. Souls are saved every week. Wonderful meeting tonight. Last Thursday night, a young university student was saved. He came some weeks ago and went away determined he would never come again. Next week, he found himself in the meeting once more, much against his will. For weeks, he fought but kept coming. God was working with him. Conviction deepened. He was most miserable. Last Thursday night, however, he yielded. Another man stood beside him so that he could not get out. But he pushed the chair in front of him away and knelt down before everyone. God saved him. And we broke out as usual with 'Tis done. The great transaction's done. Tonight he bore glorious testimony. March 7, another saved tonight. It was her first meeting. She literally sobbed out her prayer. Oh, this is a glorious work. To God be the praise. March 13. Two more. One, a leading member, exclaimed, I thought I was a Christian. I've been a member of the church so long, but tonight I see myself a guilty sinner. The other, a woman for whom we have long prayed and who has been under deep conviction and most miserable, came and sought pardon. Both were saved. I myself always thought she was a Christian. Oh, how God works. May he save many more church members who are in a false experience. March 27, a very clear exhibition of God's power tonight. A young man standing against the door at the back cried out. The audience was startled. He said he had professed salvation 2 years ago, but that sin had crept in and he was not right with God. He'd spent an awful week, but was determined to get through before he left. He came down the aisle and knelt at the front. God heard and answered. Oh, for more such fruit. May 2nd. The hardest and most discouraging meeting we have yet had. Let a man who doesn't believe in a personal and very real devil begin to pray and work for a revival, he'll soon meet the enemy and know something of his resisting powers. Surely he was present last night. Everything was dead and frozen. Nothing would go, neither prayers nor testimonies. I had a message prepared, but I couldn't deliver it. All that I could do was to groan and weep in prayer. At the close of the meeting, I announced that I was going to retire to the study to pray. Who followed me I did not know, for I was engaged with God. But I found afterward that there were at least a dozen surrounding me in prayer. It was a hard time. I prayed and broke down in the middle of it and sobbed until I was weak. I was determined to pray through and find out where we were. One by one the people left until at last there were but two of us. Sometime after midnight the light slowly broke and many things were revealed. My own failures became apparent. Faith began to rise, and at 3 o'clock in the morning we left perfectly satisfied, weak in body, but strong in faith. The battle had been won, and Satan defeated. Tonight it was heaven. Oh, how our hearts sang for joy and how near God seemed. Heaven seemed open and faith was within our grasp. We mounted up as eagles. God gave us full assurance. Nothing seemed impossible. I prayed 4 times during the meeting, and a wonderful spirit of prayer was upon all. Over and over again, we sang those glorious words of Wesley. Faith, mighty faith, the promise sees and looks to God alone, laughs at impossibilities and cries, "It shall be done." May 17. This morning in my reading, God gave me a precious word from Deuteronomy 2:25. We've been meeting for prayer from 5 and 6 until 10 at night, but I find that Satan is at work as an angel of light. May God make us wise as serpents. I've been reading the diary of David Stoner. How I thank God for it. He's another Brainerd. I have been much helped, but how ashamed and humble I feel as I read it. Oh, how he thirsted and searched after God, how he agonized and travailed, and he died at 32. What kind of an experience have I? Am I burdened for lost souls? Do I love to pray? Has my desire for the world gone? Do I hate sin? Am I filled with joy and the love of God? Do I get my prayer answered? Is there anything hidden, any secret sin, or am I holy in heart and life? Have I spiritual discernment? Am I able to detect a Holy Spirit sermon? Can I tell when people are spiritual? Is my religion real? Do those at home believe in me? Am I truly representing Christ? Will people get a right view of him from my life? Am I willing to let God search and try me? Is there anything false about my experience? Have I the clear witness of the Holy Spirit? Does my life magnify Jesus Christ? I must pray about these things. He closes with a poem called The Churches, written by Samuel Stevenson. A city full of churches, great preachers, lettered men, grand music, choirs, and organs. If these all fail, what then? Good workers, eager, earnest, who labor hour by hour. But where, oh where, my brothers, is God's almighty power? Refinement, education, they want the very best. Their plans and schemes are perfect. They give themselves no rest. They get the best of talent. They try their uttermost. But what they need, my brother, is God, the Holy Ghost. We may spend time and money and preach from wisdom's lore, but education only will keep God's people poor. God wants not worldly wisdom. He seeks no smiles to win. But what is needed, brother, is that we deal with sin. It is the Holy Spirit that quickens the soul. God will not take man worship, nor how to or bow to man's control. No human innovation, no skill or worldly art can give a true repentance or break the sinner's heart. We may have human wisdom, grand singing, great success. There may be fine equipment, but these things do not bless. God wants a pure, clean vessel, anointed lips and true, a man filled with the Spirit to speak his message through. Great God, revive us truly and keep us every day, that men may all acknowledge we live just as we pray. The Lord's hand is not shortened. He still delights to bless if we depart from evil and all our sins confess. Another day, another amen, huh? Oh, I hope you're getting cut up by this. I hope you're getting miserable through the things I'm reading to you. Miserable in a good sense, amen? So miserable that we go to God and say, God, take away this pain. God, change me. I don't want to be like I've been. I don't want to keep doing and saying what I've been doing and saying, because I know if I keep all that up, I'm going to keep getting what I've been getting out of life. Lord Jesus, help us to go deeper. Tomorrow we'll finish this book, actually. And, I believe that's what's on the agenda. Chapter 10. It's the same stuff, though. His diary. And that will end this book. We have some other wonderful books on the way, though. More of the same. It's been a blessing sharing with you. May the Lord use His Word to change your life. Don't forget James 5:16. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man and woman, I know that James would have added, and woman, avails much. God bless you today.